Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events and life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Well, today's program is program number 5 in this series about the election. The controversy continues and the news keeps pouring in. The way it looks, I might eventually be doing program 157 on questioning the election, but let's hope not. I'm sure you've noticed that there is a mainstream news blackout concerning these investigations into election fraud, these reports of fraud. The testimonies of these witnesses is not being reported on. It almost seems like the media is spending all of its time covering the COVID crisis as a cover for not covering the election fraud. And it's not just a failure to cover this news. It's worse. Allegations of election fraud are being mocked and ridiculed. President Trump did a rally on Saturday in Georgia. He gave his support behind 2 Republican senators who will be in a January 5th runoff election. And Trump laid out his case for election fraud. Here's how the New York Times reported the rally. The article's title, Trump's Final Days of Rage and Denial. And this piece was picked up and reposted on Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter. Quote, moody and by accounts of his advisors sometimes depressed, the president barely shows up to work. Now, just to note, during his speech in Georgia, the president said that he's been working harder in the last 2 weeks than he's worked in a long time. But this article says the president barely shows up to work, ignoring the health and economic crisis afflicting the nation and largely clearing his public schedule of meetings, unrelated to his desperate bid to rewrite the election results. Well, how does this author know that the president's ignoring the health and economic crisis? Well, the article goes on. He has fixated on rewarding friends, purging the disloyal and punishing a growing list of perceived enemies that now include Republican governors, his own attorney general, and even Fox News. The final days of the Trump presidency has taken on the stormy elements of a drama more common to history or literature than to a modern White House. His rage and detached from reality refusal to concede defeat invokes images of a besieged overlord in some distant land defiantly clinging to power rather than going into exile, or an erratic English monarch imposing his version of reality on his court. Other quotes in the article, his relentless campaign to discredit the election. On Saturday night, Trump took his unreality show to Georgia. Also quote, at times, Trump railing against his fade outbursts. Seemed like a story straight out of William Shakespeare, part tragedy, part farce, full of sound and fury. Is Trump a modern-day Julius Caesar, forsaken by even some of his closest courtiers? Also, quote, the forces are being picked off and the tyrant is holed up in his castle. And he's growing increasingly anxious. He feels insecure. And he starts blustering about his legitimate sovereignty. And he starts accusing his opponents of treason. Now, notice the following media headlines from this last week. The Washington Post, Trump escalates baseless attacks on election with 46-minute rant. The New York Times, small cracks emerge in the GOP's support for Trump's baseless fraud claims. PBS, in video, Trump spreads baseless claims about voter fraud. CNN, Trump Republicans defend Trump on baseless voter fraud claims as concerns grow in the ranks. MSNBC, Trump maintains baseless claims of voter fraud. What kind of court system is this? USA Today, Trump rehashes baseless election claims in 46-minute video from the White House. CBS, Trump repeats baseless fraud claims. The Guardian, Trump's baseless claims of Georgia voter fraud sparks fears among Republicans. Mediaite, Trump pushes series of baseless election fraud claims to Maria Bartiromo, complains about legal setbacks. Politico. The MAGA bullhorn shouts Trump's baseless claims of fraud. Associated Press. States cite smooth election despite Trump's baseless claims. Now, this is how the media is reporting the story. Even after we have watched dozens of citizens testify in hearings in Arizona, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, giving eyewitness accounts of election corruption. And the media is completely discounting these testimonies, these affidavits. When we know for sure that if the shoe was on the other foot, and it were the Democrats fighting election fraud, every night we would hear on the evening news, new bombshell revelations of postal workers shipping mystery ballots, or new bombshell revelations of ballots being counted after poll watchers are told to go home. Just like in the Russian collusion story. That hoax. Every time the media found hearsay evidence against President Trump, all of the news media would make it the lead story. And they would all use the same language. This is a bombshell. Now, in a moment, I'll go into some biblical teaching on all this. But first, I want us to understand that this questioning of the media's objectivity in election reporting is not just a partisan thing. In a recent Rasmussen poll, even 20% of Democrats and 30% of independents believe the election was stolen by cheating. Now, of course, 80% of Republicans believe the election was stolen. But as a whole, 47% of Americans believe Trump should be declared the winner, and 50% do not. The real story here is not that 50% of Americans believe that Biden is the winner, but that almost 50% believe he's not. Why? Is that because half the American population is deluded? No, because half the population is hearing evidence of real voter fraud. But again, the media reports that it's baseless. And that's not reporting, but that is acting as the judge, the jury, and the prosecutor. Now, does accusing the media of corruption sound conspiratorial? Well, it is a conspiracy. A conspiracy is a secret plan by a group to do something that's unlawful or harmful. And that's what the media is doing. What they're doing that is harmful is deliberately putting a slant upon the news. James O'Keefe with the Veritas Project just this last week revealed more undercover investigations and information. For the past 2 months, he has been recording CNN's morning call to all of their staff. And Project Veritas is releasing one recording every day from now until Christmas. Now, each meeting is about an hour long, and it's a lot of information to wade through. But it's just what we've expected. The CNN is not reporting the news. It is selectively framing the news according to a social political ideology. We're hearing Jeff Zucker, the head of CNN, and his producers saying things even back in September like, we have to target Lindsey Graham. And we have to frame the story that if Trump doesn't concede and there's a bad transition in the White House, that will threaten national security. And also, they say that we have to resist normalizing the president. We have to frame the story as if the president is acting erratic and desperate. And on the recordings, the political director of CNN is captured saying they will not be running a story about Hunter Biden, his laptop emails, payments he received from China, because it just furthers the right-wing echo chamber. So we have to realize that CNN and these other major media outlets are not reporting the news. They are evangelistic arms of the Democratic Party and their ideology. Because a genuine news outlet would just report all the stories as they come in. But not CNN or MSNBC or ABC. They're tailoring the stories to fit the narrative they want to promote. In an article in Newsbusters by Jeffrey Lord, he quotes Hans Spakovsky, who wrote in Heritage.org before the election, about how the media doesn't care about election fraud basically because the fraud favors the Democrats. Quote, USA Today and PBS have not spent any time or resources investigating or reporting on the findings of a recent report by the Public Interest Legal Foundation that exposes thousands of individuals who may have illegally voted more than once in 2016 and 2018 elections. It's important to remember that every fraudulent vote that is cast invalidates the vote of an eligible voter. We have many close elections in this country, and plenty of people stand to gain financially, have incentives to cheat, as well as some individuals who just want to provide a boost to their preferred candidate. Then Jeffrey Lord also asked a question, why? The question then is why? Why in the world would all of these liberal media outlets running these stories put themselves out there and misreport the story when any decent fact checker can quickly disprove them? The answer is simple. They hate President Donald Trump. Now let's talk about the spiritual biblical lesson we should learn from all this. You may wonder why a Christian radio program on a Christian station is dealing with these political issues. Well, understand what we're experiencing in our social political culture is what the Bible's all about. This war between the truth and the lie. Between the people of God, who hold to the moral laws of God and the supremacy of Jesus Christ, and those who promote lawlessness, abortion, LGBTQ, and reject the concept of biblical revelation and the authority of Jesus Christ. We are in a war over truth. And Jesus said Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He lied in the garden, and Satan and his people have been lying ever since. In that New York Times article I referenced earlier, it states that Trump and his voters are living in an alternative reality. But who is actually living in an alternative reality? Who is denying reality because it doesn't fit their narrative? Well, that question is biblical in nature, because the Bible is all about this conflict between two different realities, such as in the Old Testament, the alternative reality claimed by the false prophets versus the reality taught by the true prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, Elisha. And in the New Testament, the alternative reality claimed by the Pharisees versus the reality taught by Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the true prophets cried, lies and not truth prevail in the land. And in the New Testament, Jesus said that the Pharisees were the blind leaders of the blind. And even the apostles confronted the lies of the day. 1 Timothy chapter 4. But the Spirit explicitly says, in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. This world is all about the truth versus the lie. And the sooner we understand that, the sooner we're going to get into the battle. And the sooner we're going to understand the battle. Now, of course, there are some Christians who get kind of squeamish about Christian teachers, addressing the politics of the day. As if we should just stick to John chapter 3, verse 16. But realize that it's through seeing political lies, social lies, economic lies, that the unsaved individual begins to see that the world is corrupt and gets the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 3, the truth that with their tongues they keep deceiving, and that is a truth that's necessary for conversion. Romans chapter 3, verse 19, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. People need a knowledge of sin, their own sin and the corruption in the world. Now, I would agree that political talk is useless if it fails to explain to people the source of the lies and the gospel solution. My prayer is that any non-Christian listening to this program would learn through the news that we live in a world where people lie. As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Not just suppressing political truth, but suppressing the bigger truths about God and man and salvation, which is the reason they also suppress lesser political truth. And my prayer is that any non-Christian listening would realize that unless he receives the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Jesus Christ, he will be enslaved to the lie and fall into greater and greater darkness. John chapter 12, verse 35. So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of the light." I don't care about the election so much. I care that souls be saved and transferred from the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, to the kingdom of light. Acts chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes, so they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Here's a biblical text that should shake every listener to the core. The words of Jesus Christ about the apocalypse, which will come upon this world before the end of this age. Matthew 24, 24, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." Now, don't just read that text in a religious context. False prophets are false teachers and leaders. It includes political pundits and politicians in the last day. The Antichrist himself. Anyone who will promote an Antichrist, anti-God, lawless global agenda. Then we compare Jesus' teaching about the apocalypse to the Apostle Paul's additional inspired revelation about the coming apocalypse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That is, the one who's coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. So notice the key words here. False wonders, deception of wickedness, deluding influence, believing what is false, did not believe the truth. The end of this age is all about the people of this world embracing a satanic, religious, political, social lie. A lie that's so great that Jesus said if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. So what does that mean? The lie will be so convincing, the social pressure to believe the lie will be so great, that unless someone has a supernatural, special relationship with God, the lie will be believed, the lie will win. And the words of Jesus also tell us that we're going to be entering into a day where 98% of the public are going to be calling a lie the truth. Why do I say 98%? Because the truth is that only 2 or 3% of the population is genuinely Christian, born again, the elect of God. And Jesus said that the lie would deceive everyone but the elect. And it would even deceive them, but for the fact that they are the elect illuminated by the Holy Spirit. So are you prepared for that day? The day when you're going to have to believe something that almost all of the public says is untrue. And I'm not talking about election results here. Fraud and misreporting on the election is only a small illustration of the bigger problem. The day is coming when the whole world will embrace a secular humanism that puts man and man's law upon the throne, and they will enforce that through a totalitarian state, the beast. So where will you stand? For God or for sinful mankind? You have to decide. And you have to decide not tomorrow, you have to decide today. Because in all likelihood, tomorrow will be too late. Because as Jesus said, tomorrow you may be overtaken by the darkness, the deluding influence. So the other day I was thinking about people's biases, how we first decide what we want to believe, and then we find evidence to support our conclusions. We're not as objective as we think we are. Our worldview determines how we interpret the data around us. If we have an anti-God worldview, the data will point to atheism. If we have a pro-God worldview, the data will point to God being the truth. You know, as Blaise Pascal wrote in the 17th century, the same God who reveals himself to those who love him hides himself from those who hate him. Our truth detector is connected to our spiritual condition. Well, in thinking about this, imagine if there were a PolitiFact article written in AD 32, Dateline Jerusalem. Question, is Jesus the Messiah? We could imagine the PolitiFact article going something like this. Yes, there are some testimonies of miracles, and a small minority of the public surveyed believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But most religious experts disagree. And even when Jesus was asked to show evidence of his messiahship, Jesus refused to give a sign, saying instead, the only sign they will receive is the sign of Jonah the prophet. Jesus prevaricated by claiming an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. Therefore, Jesus' claims are baseless. The PolitiFact truth meter would then give Jesus' claims mostly false. That's the conclusion the majority will come to. But they, the experts, the social leaders, are wrong. As Jesus said in John chapter 8, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. It wasn't that they didn't believe because they examined the evidence and found it wasn't true, but they didn't believe because they examined the evidence and they found that it was true. That's why they rejected it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, they did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. That's the world we live in. So let me conclude with some news about the election. Again, all this is just to illustrate the battle between the lie and the truth. First, the Dominion Voting Machine Company, which now handles the votes of 28 states, is owned by the Chinese Communist Party. The Security and Exchange Commission filings have been verified. A decade ago, the Chinese government bought a percentage of Dominion for $100 million. And in October of this year, right before the election, the Chi-Com spent $400 million to buy 75% ownership of Dominion. Second story, New York Post. United States postal worker was arrested at the Canadian border with a bin of mail containing some undelivered absentee ballots. Now, this story is not the smoking gun that will overturn the election, but it demonstrates that the Postal Service is not a secure place for ballots to be transferred. A third story. Trump lawyers file a suit in Nevada, claiming they can prove that 40,000 people voted twice in Nevada. And that's enough votes to overturn Nevada's election results. Also, this story out of Georgia. One huge batch of 23,000 ballots for Biden have been identified as fraudulent. You know, we know there's fraud at some level. What lawyers need to find is more hard evidence. Piles of ballots that are clearly fraudulent, log files on machines that indicate tampering, even names of Democrat operatives that were planning this whole thing. I will share more thoughts on this and more of the latest findings on my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. Thank you for including God and Country. As just one small part of your discipleship in the Word, let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, may we be of the truth, may we be in the truth, and may we speak the truth. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.